JC Corcoran Podcast.
Dinner will be ready in about 20 minutes. Turkey with all the trimmings. We are celebrating Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving? Alice, I think your calendar is a little mixed up.
It's Thanksgiving to me, because Sam's back and I got him.
Well, since we're celebrating holidays, happy Easter.
Merry Christmas.
And now, here with an unlimited supply of misinformation is Mr. Know-It-All.
Hello, Inquestive out there. Today I shall instruct you on how to cook a turkey's goose. The first step in cooking a turkey is to preheat the oven to 6,000 degrees.
Don't you think that's awfully hot?
Only for the turkey.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before. It's like deja vu all over again.
Wednesday, November 23rd, 2022. 83 days until pitchers and catchers report to Jupiter, Florida. How you doing, kids? You're at jcontheline.com. This is our last show for a couple of days. We'll be back on Monday. Yesterday, I'm driving around St. Louis, and I drive past the new stadium downtown. I'm just trying to check things out a little bit, and it suddenly dawned on me, there's nobody downtown. There's no traffic. There was nobody on the streets. It looked like Plaza Frontenac in the middle of July. You know, when you go in there and you go, how do these stores stay in business? The place is empty. How do they even do this? How does this work? And then you realize that when people go into Plaza Frontenac, they spend $20,000, and that's how they stay in business. So it's not like a regular mall. But a lot of people go hang out there because they think maybe they're going to run into John Hamm or Kurt Warner or something like that. But so I'm sort of perplexed by the whole thing. So I figure, where is everybody? How come the streets of downtown are just empty at 2 o'clock on a Tuesday afternoon? I'm like, well, maybe everybody's shopping. Maybe everybody's getting a head start on the shopping. So I went to West County Mall, and that was empty too. Poor Santa was just sitting there by himself. There were no kids in line. There was nobody in the mall. Nothing was happening. I don't like the looks of this. I'm not even sure why. I just don't like, it doesn't seem right. For all the complaining we used to do about the, you know, the hustle and the bustle of the holidays and, you know, the long lines and how crowded it is and you can't find a parking space, that shit's over. Now, maybe it'll kick up again on the weekend and for Black Friday and everything, but something's wrong when you are in the 25th largest market in the country and you're driving around the streets of downtown and there's nobody out. So then I figured, like I said, maybe everybody's shopping. So go to West County Mall. Again, nothing there either. So then I figured, well, you know, I want to get myself one of those St. Louis FC hats. So go looking around. I went to a couple of different places. $36 for a freaking hat. No, thank you. How much can it cost for the manufacturer to make a hat? It's cloth. It's either a patch or some sort of embroidery on the front. And then there's a piece of cardboard that's the brim. What can it cost to manufacture it? $5 tops? It's a hell of a markup. $36. Forget it. You want me to wear a hat? You give me a free one. I mean, they're charging more for these St. Louis FC hats than they are, like, for Cardinal hats. Now, how can that be? And now back to the mall. It is Thanksgiving, so you never know who is going to be sort of hanging around. Nikki Glaser is in town. I was having dinner last night with somebody who was hanging out with her, sort of managing her, or at least managing her appearances. Anyhow, so last night was one of those nights that a group of us, and I'll tell you who us is here in just a minute, we'll never forget. I'll tell you what happened. Our buddy Smash has been laid up in a, it's not in the hospital, he's in one of those nurse assist places, but he's been in since late September. And when we found out that he was still going to be in for another couple of weeks, meaning that he was going to be in for Thanksgiving, we started putting our heads together. And so unbeknownst to Smash, I flew into St. Louis for a couple of days, and I was maintaining a low profile because I didn't want to blow this thing. And so what he thought was going to happen, because apparently this place does not have great food. You know, you always hear about hospital food, and apparently nurse assist places have even worse food than that. People are very, very nice, and it's a really nice facility and everything. If you're going to get stuck in a place like that, well, then this place that smashes in is, you know, you're ahead of the game a little bit, because it is nice. Just the food is no good. So he was under the impression that we have a tight little group of people. Karen Kelly, who everybody, I think, remembers as our producer and co-host on some of the old morning shows, she's in this little group. And then there's another guy by the name of Julie, and she is one of these public relations mavens. She's one of these people who, if you see a celebrity or an expert or just somebody like on the TV news or on the radio stations, you know, sort of making the rounds, a comedian is in town, a movie star, an author, anything like that, chances are Julie is the one who is managing all this sort of stuff. And I just mentioned Nikki Glaser. She's in town, so she was sort of making the rounds on radio and TV stations yesterday. And Karen Kelly, by the way, who I just mentioned, used to work for Nikki Glaser's dad. A guy by the name of E.J. Glaser used to be back in the old, I guess it was still called Charter back then, Charter Cable, up there on the Industrial Drive just north of Olive. He worked up there, and he was like the manager of Charter Cable. And they had the local origination channel, and Robin Obermiller and people like that used to do shows there. You remember all that. And, you know, little did we know that the little daughter that EJ had running around at the time was going to turn out to be Nikki Glaser. So anyhow, so Karen was with us, and then I could just say Julie, who manages a lot of these people when they come into town and do appearances. Smash was under the appearance that last night, Julie, our friend Julie, was going to show up with a Jersey Mike's sandwich. And trust me, if that had in fact happened, Smash would have been elated just to get that Jersey Mike's sub. But at about 6 o'clock last night, instead of a Jersey Mike sub and Julie on her own, it was Julie and Karen with a fully prepared Thanksgiving dinner. And I'm telling you, this is turkey and stuffing and gravy and broccoli and, God, what else was on there? Oh, sweet potatoes. You know, the works. The real works. When this thing was spread out on the table, and you can see the picture. I'll put the picture up in just a little while. But as they're spreading out the food and getting ready, and Smash is really, really happy. He's not only getting a visit from two of his closest friends, he's also getting a Thanksgiving dinner by surprise, and it was really, really cool. And then about 5 minutes later, I snuck around into the place and came around the corner, and you should have seen the look on his face when he saw me, because he didn't even know I was in town. And again, we got pictures of all this stuff. You got to be careful. You know, Smash is not a young man. I'm not a young man. Surprises are not necessarily the best thing you could do to somebody at our age, let's put it that way. You surprise somebody enough and it'll stop their heart, okay? So that's what we did last night. And it was really, really cool. And we sat around and we told stories and we laughed and laughed and laughed. And then we had a lot of food left over, which we wheeled down to the reception desk at this you know, nurse assist facility Smashes In. And we just gave it to all the ladies sitting behind the counter. And so they went home big time last night. They'll be eating turkey a day early, cold turkey, but turkey nonetheless. So like I said, that's what we did last night. And now tonight is Jeff Faulkner's deal, along with Abby Stahlschmidt and the rest of the gang. Mr. Blue Sky, if you aren't doing anything tonight, you're not going to Guns N' Hoses, I would strongly suggest you check out Del Mar Hall at, well, the show starts at 7, and then Mr. Blue Sky goes on at 8 o'clock. It's the ELO tribute band, and my God, are they good. All right, let me get this out of the way right away, and then we'll get to Knuckles here in just a couple of minutes. You can always tell when a movie is a bomb, because the commercials and the trailer that they put out prior to the release of the movie, and they get you all excited, and you're like, oh my, in this particular case, won't that be a great story to see how Steven Spielberg, as a young boy, sort of developed and matured as one of the world's best ever filmmakers? Oh, yeah, I'd love to see that story. That's a great story. And then you show up at the movie, as we did the other night for the screening, and that's not what you get. This semi-autobiographical story, The Fablemans, well, it never even occurred to me that Steven Spielberg would be capable of making a movie this bad. Like I said, from the pre-release hype, you think the movie's going to be about, you know, how this guy matured as a motion picture aficionado and then turned into one of the world's greatest directors. He gets a camera as a gift as a little boy. But then the movie just turns into this brooding, burdensome depiction of Spielberg's dysfunctional family, while the story we wanted, you know, the evolution of him as a young director, gets pushed to the side for the most part. Paul Dano, who I like, you know, he was great in Love and Mercy, the Beach Boys thing. He plays the dad, Michelle Williams. Now, let me get to this. You're watching this movie, and all these actors are all interacting with one another, and after a few minutes, you're like, Michelle Williams? She thinks she's in a different movie. The ensemble, you know, actors are all interacting with one another and telling the story, and then Michelle Williams is doing all this stuff, and you're like, you're making your own movie. I don't know what you're into, but you're not in the movie you think you're in. The kid who plays the young Steven Spielberg is pretty good. You know, he's got a couple of sisters, and the sisters are barely in the movie. They're just there for window dressing and for background. And how do you tell the story about a young boy growing up, regardless of what he grows up to do, without at least, you know, talking a little bit about his relationship with the rest of his family members? And it just never happens. And for those of you who are going to disregard everything that I'm telling you here and go to the movie anyhow, I'll only tell you that, you know, the family, like I already identified, very, very dysfunctional that family was. You know, Steven Spielberg, the young boy, he's got this camera and he's filming family stuff. And then in the background, not the focus of what he was filming, you see something that's really awful that's going on within the family, and then the whole thing sort of devolves from there. Like I said, this movie is brooding. It is just a big depressing downer. I have my own family and the problems that anybody has within the framework of a family. I've got enough of my own stuff to worry about. I don't need to be burdened, especially at the holidays, with this awful story about how bad his childhood was. I don't get it. I don't get it. And as if to add insult to injury, the movie is also 2.5 hours long. And it didn't need to be more than about 90 minutes, to be honest. I saw 100 places where the movie could have been cut down. So not only is it arduous to have to sit through, it's also way too fucking long. And I can't remember the last time I did this, because I operate on the 1 to 5 corks system, 5 being the best and 1 being the worst, and The Fablemans gets a big fat 1 from me. That's it. What a crushing disappointment for The Fablemans. All right, back to the business at hand. An online poll found the best time to start Thanksgiving dinner is between 3 and 4:30. Also, only 18% of us say turkey is our favorite Thanksgiving food. 18%? What? I love turkey. Most people prefer their mashed potatoes with a few lumps. 52% of us think it's okay to play Christmas music on Thanksgiving. There really isn't a lot of Thanksgiving music. You know, maybe Celebrate Me Home, Kenny Loggins. Would Thanksgiving be better on Friday? 27% of Americans say yes. Also, 29% of people say they only spend Thanksgiving with family out of obligation, up from 16% 30 years ago. And 44% of us would skip seeing our family for $1,000, up from just 19% back then. So this is what I was talking about yesterday briefly. If you are separated from your family right now for whatever reason, maybe it's distance, maybe there's a rift in the family, maybe you had some close relatives pass away, you know, and you're just sitting there and you're thinking to yourself, wow, I'm supposed to be sitting here talking about how thankful I am, and I'm not really that thankful. I'm bummed. I'm depressed. Just keep that in the back of your head. The people who do have family and friends don't even want to be with them. So maybe that makes you feel a little better. In a comprehensive poll on pies, the most loved Thanksgiving pies, pumpkin, pecan, and apple. And if you can't find any of the 19 pies that people like best, America's 20th favorite Thanksgiving pie is pear pie. Now, don't do any of these things. It's on a short list of the rude things that people do around Thanksgiving. For example, bringing something that requires cooking, starting tense conversations, prying into people's personal business, asserting yourself in the kitchen without being asked, or assuming that you can take home leftovers. Last night, Stephen Colbert re-ran one of the times he answered the Butterball hotline. They just sat him down. These women were calling up asking for advice on cooking turkeys, and he's giving absurd answers. And then they had to call everybody back later and say, it was a joke. That was Stephen Colbert. They call about, how-to questions, how to make stuffing, how to cook a turkey, how to catch a turkey. It's a little late for that, wouldn't you say? And the American Farm Bureau Federation put out its annual Thanksgiving report. It says the average dinner for 10 will cost $64.05 this year. That's up 20%. That's about $6.50 per person, up from $5.33 a year ago. And according to an editor at the deal site, Retail Me Not, the best time to score a Black Friday deal was last Sunday. More and more retailers are kicking off their sales the week before Thanksgiving, so you're already too late. And a lot of people think that Cyber Monday is going to start outpacing Black Friday anyhow. In a new survey, 64% of Americans say they plan to shop online on Cyber Monday, but only 32% say they plan to shop in person on Black Friday. Don't you think they would have worked out this deal with Qatar or Qatar, or however you say it? But, you know, they really did leave Anheuser-Busch and all of the vendors and everything like that sort of standing a hole in the bag when they basically said, we're not going to have any beer sales. So anyhow, AB says they've announced they're going to be shipping all the unsold beer off to the country that wins the World Cup, provided it isn't Qatar. Ah, see? The 96th annual Macy's Thanksgiving Parade is tomorrow morning. And again, this is Wednesday, November 23rd. You might be listening to it later than that. I apologize for the confusion on that, but that's the way we do it here. And then the St. Louis Parade, that one is, the Grand Marshal is Nikki Glaser, and also she's going to sing the national anthem prior to the whole thing. Got a lot of football this weekend. Let's start with Thanksgiving Day, 11:30, Detroit hosting Buffalo. That'll be a massacre. Then at 3:30, Dallas and the Giants. That's a decent game. And then at night, you got the Vikings. Boy, what's, you know, they're coming back from just getting a drubbing, and they host the New England Patriots. And then on Sunday night, it's the Eagles hosting the Packers. That's a, well, that should have been a lot better game than it'll probably be. Packers don't look right now. Jay Leno already headed back to the garage, posted a couple of pictures yesterday. He's pretty burned up. He's pretty scarred up. But if you've ever spent any extended stay in a hospital, you know the first thing you want to do is to get the fuck out, even if you're not feeling 100%. There's going to be a 20th anniversary special of Love Actually, the movie, and Diane Sawyer is going to host it on ABC. That is going to be next Tuesday, the 29th. What do you do with that movie? There's so many great things that an entire family could enjoy, except for the porn scenes, which you can't. What do you do? Tell the kids to leave the room, watch the rest of the movie, but when that scene comes up, go, take out the trash. Ma, can I wait till the end of the movie? Go right now. Top Gun Maverick, going to go to Paramount Plus on December 22nd. Birthdays today, being the 23rd of November, Miley Cyrus is 30. Boy, there's a lot of miles on that kid for 30, huh? Snooki from Jersey Shore, 35. Kelly Brook, one of the women who make red-blooded American men just fall down. 43 today. Bruce Hornsby as In the Range, 68. Bruce Valanche from Hollywood Squares, 74. The Jukebox made its debut at a saloon in San Francisco on this date back in 1889, 133 years ago. I always laugh about I Love Rock and Roll by Joan Jett. That song is now so old that there were still jukeboxes around, and it only cost a dime. And 9 years ago today, 2013, Gianna De Laurentiis was doing a Thanksgiving special live on the Food Network and sliced her finger open. I don't know what they did for 15 minutes while she got stitched up, but that's what they did. All right, it is a holiday tradition, and one of the reasons is because, you know, you start putting stuff under the tree. I mean, Christmas trees are up. There's people. I was driving up and down, like, around Ledoux Road and up and down Warson, places like that. All the houses already have all their Christmas lights up, so you know the tree is up inside just as well. And the trees are going up, the lights are going on, and like I said, you know, you've got a lot of stuff. You're out shopping, you bring the shit home, you wrap it, stick it under the tree, or, you know, maybe you're going to wrap it later, you stuff it away somewhere so nobody will find it, but guess what? The burglars find it. Before I run this, it is important to remember that this was not a, shall we say, scheduled interview. We were just talking about, like, home security issues and the stuff that I was just mentioning about, you know, having all this expensive stuff in the house. I hope we don't get robbed, you know? And a guy just called. It was just a caller. And as you'll hear, this guy who we semi-affectionately referred to as Knuckles, this guy just called in, a burglar for like 30 years, apparently had some sort of attack of conscience, and just spilled his guts. Like I said, our holiday tradition, our visit with a burglar we call Knuckles.
Hey, I used to be a professional burglar and have done over probably 3,000 burglaries over my career.
I knew that we would get this call. What made you stop?
I started working for security companies as a consultant.
Had you been arrested, busted? Had you done time?
No, I've never been arrested. I never went to jail. I never got touched.
So how did this outfit know about you? Like, did you volunteer the information?
My fence turned me on to the insurance adjusters, and we were selling stuff back to the insurance companies.
All right, this is getting way too... All right, go back to what you were going to say now.
But anyway, when we would go in a house with a dog, we'd take a hamburger and throw a couple sleeping pills in it. And then if the dog was a valuable dog, we'd take it too, because there was a market that would buy the dog.
Take the dog. Wow.
So, you know, the dogs was cool. They was part of the merchandise. We would drive a van that would have, like, a plumbing company sign on the side or a electrical company. We had all these metallical signs made up. And we just change it every few days, or sometimes every two or three times a day, we would become a different company. You know, we'd walk up to the door wearing our work boots and dressed in work uniforms and have a, you know, work belt around us. And
so how many jobs?
A little over 3,000.
3,000.
Wow.
All right, now let's ask the $64,000 question. Does anything work? Does anything deter you from going in? Is there anything that you would say, all right, we're not going to that place because they have what?
We stayed away from houses that you could see into, and we stayed away from houses that had housewives on the street because they would get nosy. We were actually doing a burglary one day, and a lady come up and wanted the phone number off our truck because she had electrical work she wanted done.
Wow. And you're doing
and
a tap
we
dance.
We were in her house. You know, we were taking her neighbor's stuff.
How did you know that somebody wasn't home, or did that not matter?
Well, you knock on the door, and if they were home, then you would act stupid and say, oh, I'm sorry, this must be the wrong place. Or did you call the plumber this morning? There was a couple of times I had to go in and actually fix the sink. You know?
Are there certain sorts of neighborhoods that you would stay out of?
Well, you stay out of the really ritzy neighborhoods because
Why?
They got better police control.
Okay.
And you stay out of the really poor neighborhoods because they got guns.
What about subdivisions where there's like really only like maybe one way in or out? Did that deter you?
No, that didn't make a whole lot of difference because, like I said, we went in our work trucks and we were in and out in 30, 45 minutes. And we'd be out of the neighborhood and back on the expressway.
I know. What about alarms? What about alarm systems?
Alarms are easy. Everybody's got these signs that says alarm. Cut the phone line.
Yeah, now some of the alarm systems are set to go off if the phone line's cut.
Yeah, but you cut the phone line, then you drive around the block. You come back, if the police are there, you go on down the road.
Wow.
So basically, we are defenseless against you guys There's really nothing we can do to stop you if you want to get in.
If we want in, we got you. I actually make more money as a consultant than installing burglar systems.
Wait, so you're installing systems that you know really aren't any good?
Well, yeah, but, you know,
gotta have
a lot of people do things that they know aren't no good.
Oh, my gosh.
When you went into a house, where'd you go first?
You always went to the master bedroom.
Because that's where they keep the jewelry.
That's where the jewelry's at. Jewelry's the easiest to make money on because you always bust it out of the settings and sell the stones.
Right. All right, what else did you go for?
Electronics back in the day. You stayed away from computers because it was too easy to find the computer. Because you would sell it to a pawn shop or something of that nature, and they'd sell it to somebody, and they'd go home, and all these people's information would pop up on the computer.
So is there anything that you can tell us that could help? I mean, here we are. You know, it's like I'm not home right now. I'm here.
The best thing I would say, marking your possessions is probably the most deterrent.
So that's
because when you grab a stereo system and you flip it over and there's somebody's phone number or their
carving tools, like one of those Dremel.
One of the little Dremel tools.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, those are, if you mark your stuff, that's one of the biggest ways because, you know.
It's marked now, and they can trace it back.
It's hard to sell. Yeah. And the police got really good about running the pawn shops.
Huh.
How about if I just have a house full of cheap crap?
Oh, if it's cheap stuff, you know, I'm going to look at it, and you may not even know I was ever in your house.
Have you ever walked in when somebody was sitting there and they confronted you?
Oh, yeah.
What do you do?
Well, you just look down at your clipboard and say, you know, I'm here to check your furnace. Or
you would just walk into their house, and then they would say, what the hell are you doing? And you'd just say, oh, I'm here to check your furnace.
Yeah,
and they would accept that.
The
work
order said the door was unlocked. Go on in.
And they're okay with that.
Well, we've had a few people argue, but you don't argue. You're very polite. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. And out the door you go. The whole time you're backing towards the door.
How'd you get in the door?
Well, they make this little tool. It's an electric lock pick. You can buy it on the internet for $19.95.
Wow.
And you just stick that in like it's a key, and it picks the lock.
It's got different attachments to it, and you look at the lock. It's got the name of the lock on it. You look at the attachment, put the right attachment on it. Wow. If it took more than 3 seconds, it was a very good lock.
Wow.
Now, what is a very good lock?
Well, the Shylocks are very good. I would stay away from any of the Walmart, Home Depot type locks, because most of those only have two prongs. Shylock is probably one of the best because the tumblers on them are uneven and it's very hard to pick.
I'm standing here absolutely numb. And I didn't realize. I knew it was bad. I had no idea.
If you saw a Shylock name on a lock, would you not try to get in it?
Well, you would still try, but biggest part of the time, it depended on the neighborhood and who was around. If there's people looking,
so there's
you
want to
make it look like you're walking up there, sticking the key in the lock, and going in.
Wow.
So there's nothing that we can really do to keep you out.
What about deadbolts?
Deadbolts just take a little longer to open. 90% of the people that put deadbolts on their door don't deadbolt.
There's an entire industry. Several industries, the locks, the home security industry, all this
multi-million dollar industry,
giving us apparently a false sense of security and selling us all this stuff that apparently doesn't work.
So if you can't get in a door, what do? You go through the window?
Well, windows is kind of amateurs. I mean, kids do windows.
He says, I am Spider-Man.
A good professional thief is not going to play with a window.
Not going to play with a window.
Are there any homes in a particular structure of the subdivision that you would stay away from? Like maybe those in a cul-de-sac or something like that?
Cul-de-sacs are bad. And brick houses, you can't force the door in a brick house hardly.
It's the first bit of good news I got. Molded. I got a brick house.
Because the way the doors are molded, like on a frame house, you can hit them real good at your shoulder and break it right open.
See, here's another reason to get to know your neighbors.
A lot of the neighborhoods that were built around O'Fallon, Illinois, in that area,
yeah,
I would get in them with a razor knife.
What if I do? What if I just did this? God. What if I just took a bucket of shell casings and threw it out on my front lawn, and just made it look like, for some reason, or if like if you look through the window
I
of a
think shell casings, I'd want your guns. Guns are easy to sell.
Oh, bring them in like a magnet, JC.
Wow.
So you're telling me, you're honest to God telling me, there's nothing I can do that will, the best I can do is maybe slow you down.
That's about the best you can do is slow me down.
Or just be home.
Or be home.
Or no, well, your neighbors who are home. I mean, it sounds to me.
If you got neighbors that are home, retired people are a pain.
My dad is a perfect deterrent to crime, yeah, a nosy retired man. Yeah,
except about 3 o'clock. Except about 3 o'clock when you get that senior citizen Jeopardy discount at Old Country Buffet.
So if you got an old person living in your home, you think you should get a deduction from your insurance company?
they're better than the pit bulls.
They're a real pain. We did a house. We had all these people's paintings and everything loaded in the back of the van. And this old guy was standing there talking, and we couldn't get away from him. He talked to us for 45 minutes, and we had over $100,000 worth of merchandise in the van.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
But you know what was the amazing part about it? When it came out that the place was robbed, he never mentioned us.
All right, wow.
Feel bad, like, looking back, and I don't want to sound like your mom, but don't you, like, ever stop and wonder, well, that's a shame that I took that really nice such-and-such from that person? Like, don't
well,
you ever
feel people that we hit could afford it. They had insurance.
Well, what if they couldn't afford it, though? What if you went to a home and it was middle class and they didn't have a lot of money? They're just kind of, you know, doing their thing, living.
Well, why would you rob a place like that?
Because well, that's what you said.
There's nothing there worth taking.
Well, I love this
middle
guy.
Class, we're talking, you know, anywhere from $50,000 to $80,000.
I mean, have you ever looked back on something and said, I wish I didn't do that?
Well, that's one of the reasons I quit doing it. It got where it's hard to sleep at night.
And how do you sleep now?
Oh, I sleep like a baby now because
you're earning
Wait,
your
let
keep.
Me go, let me go back to one thing. You got $100,000 worth of stolen stuff in the van you're trying to get away. Has it ever happened where you're like loaded up or in the process of doing a job and the people come home?
Oh, yeah.
And what do you do then?
You take off like a bat out of hell.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then you don't go back to that neighborhood for 7-8 months a year. So
7-8 months.
Wow. So what, the things that we have done, some of the things we mentioned here today, will deter the amateur, the idiot who's just walking
well,
down the street.
That's the one you're wanting to stop anyway, because they do 90% of the burglaries.
Really?
Yeah, you can't be everywhere.
90% of the burglaries are done by your neighbor's kid.
Well, we're out of time. I'm glad that you called. This is better than any guest we've ever booked
ever
in the history of the show.
Yeah.
I don't care what you do, guy. I just was here sitting here going on the way to work and heard you talking all this stuff.
On your way to work. Right now, there's a guy on his way to work, too, which is your house today.
How old are you now?
I'm in my 50s.
Okay.
Well, thanks for all the info.
Like JC just said.
Yeah, how do you keep somebody out of your house?
You go to work today and you come home at 5 o'clock and your place is wiped out.
I keep good insurance.
That's the best you can do is just get
That's
insurance.
That's the best you can do is keep good insurance.
Wow. Did you know who did it, though? That was Johnny.
But I was real careful about my house is open. You can see into it. There's no bushes up around the windows and doors.
Oh, so you mentioned that earlier. You didn't like houses that you could see into. And why? Just why was that?
Well, because, again, the nosy neighbors.
Oh, okay. So you see somebody moving around in your house.
They see the plumber taking the TV
around. They know there's nobody supposed to be there.
See the plumber taking the TV.
How about daylight versus night? You would not try any of this at night at all?
Oh, no. Don't do nighttime burglaries because that's what gets you killed.
Because people are home.
People are home.
Jumpy. They hear noises and stuff like that.
Yeah, you got Joe the neighbor wanting to be a hero. And, you know, nighttime burglaries just aren't cool because... Well, the time that you'll get over it is so much heavier.
Have you ever been shot at?
My fence did once.
Your what?
Your fence.
Once?
His fence. Guy you'd sell the stuff to. Yeah, who would
yeah,
sell
he
it?
He thought I ripped him off on some stones. But
fence?
So your fence tried to shoot you.
Oh, man.
Well, you know, we kissed and made up because I made him a lot of money and he gave me a lot of money.
Unbelievable. Wow. All right, we're going to refer to you as Knuckles.
Okay.
So if we're ever on the air and you hear, hey, you know what? That's a good question. Or if Knuckles is out there, we'll put out the call. Then
Knuckles.
We're talking to you.
All right.
Thanks, Knuckles.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Wow. Never leave me.
Like I said, still one of my favorite moments of
everything I've ever done on radio or podcasting or whatever it is we're talking about, and I'm going to include television in that too, one of the most memorable segments ever. And that does it for the J.C. Corcoran Podcast, Wednesday, November 23rd, 2022, 83 days until pitchers and catchers report to Jupiter, Florida for spring training. We are here every weekday morning, except for the next couple, because we're going to be off now till Monday. But other than that, please spread the word. Continue to do so. I know that you know, one of the things that really, really helps is people just enjoying the podcast every day and telling their friends and their family about it, and then they join in, and the next thing you know, the numbers go up. Oh, and one more thing, because I talked a lot about this over the summer, and then I had to sort of put it on the back burner, but speaking of the back burner, if you smell something cooking in the background, it might not be Thanksgiving dinner. And I'll leave it at that. Good things are coming. All right, have a great holiday. Please stay safe, be careful, and we'll talk to you in a couple of days. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.